Welcome to With Priscilla, a podcast that dives into inspiring stories of everyday people who have navigated life's twists and turns with resilience, courage, and faith. Join me as I sit down with guests from all walks of life, sharing their unique journeys, triumphs, and lessons learned along the way. From overcoming adversity to chasing dreams, our guests open up about the moments that define them. Whether it's an artist, entrepreneur, or someone with a remarkable life story, get ready to be inspired. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Everyone has a story worth telling. And here, we believe that every story matters. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're doing a Saturday morning podcast. He has his coffee. I just finished my hot chocolate. And occasionally you may hear Maestro, our dog, who's just hanging out with us. But today, I was telling Jimmy that God's been really putting the word. And I'm not one that has a word for the year. That's never really been me. But recently, well, around December and January, God's been just speaking to me about being intentional and intentional in all things. I don't know. Are you one that has a word for the year?
No, I don't think I have a word. I mean, I used to probably. Pre-marriage, I used to like have a lot of, go through a lot of self-help stuff and try to have resolutions and words and stuff like that. But now it's biblically aligned. It just it covers a lot. So I don't focus on one thing, but maybe just one thing, just focusing on what God wants for me. And it's just wide open from that point.
Okay. So I was looking up intentional and what that means and find it. Being intentional means being deliberate and purposeful in your actions, thoughts, and behaviors. It means making conscious choices and taking actions that align with your values, goals, and aspirations. Being intentional requires clarity about what you want to achieve and the steps you must take. It involves setting goals, creating plans, and acting toward achieving them. As believers of the gospel, we believe in the importance of living a purposeful life centered around God's will and the teachings of Jesus Christ. This requires being intentional about one's actions, thoughts, and choices, and striving to align them with these principles. And that's more or less kind of what God has been showing me. And it started off with living intentionally, obviously God-centered, but it started off with food. And I think that's kind of the purpose. Looking back, that's kind of the purpose of why I wanted to start the garden, which was, I don't know, when did we start the garden? Like 2018?
2020, I think, because of the whole COVID thing.
But it was before then. It was more of like right here in front of the house. Remember we did the little one?
Oh, Briarwood?
No, right here. Like right in front of our house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
And that, but that was more of like, just literally testing it out, see what worked. A lot of trials and errors, more errors than anything. But yeah, so we have gardening down now. But unfortunately, termites, our neighbors are really, I guess our favorite neighbors moved to Florida and the new neighbors had a termite tent and it just contaminated the garden. So starting from scratch. But anyhow, the intentionality, that's a word, with building that garden was because in the Bible, you know, I always remember, well, let me take it back. We know food is such a huge topic in this world and specifically in our country. We use and we follow this guy named Bobby. I don't even know what's his last name. Starts with a P.
I forgot his name.
Anyways, I have the app. Let me see. The app is...
His app, like if you look it up, is Bobby Approved.
Yeah.
So if you look up that, you'll find his app. But I just think back, it was a lot of stuff on during COVID because we had so much time. But also...
Well, that one we discovered.
But also, yeah. But you understood the...
Concept.
The chemicals and all these other things that go into food that we purchase, like the fast food or... boxed food,
but not to the extent
not
of
to
him.
Now, but yeah, but it was always there, the seed was always there, and well, yeah, that kind of led down the road to being more intentional about what we're putting
consuming
in our bodies.
Yeah. Because even in the Bible it talks about eating pure foods, and here it is on 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." And then it goes on, but it's always embedded in my head, the part in the Bible where God talks about eating foods that are pure. And in the Bible, there's a lot of answers, I guess, origins to the way we should be living and reasons why. And as an example, again, with food, there's so many toxins, even within our veggies and fruits. We buy all organic, and yes, it can be costly, but in the end, I'm always looking out for Jimmy, Cassandra, and I and our health, because I'd rather us have a clean bill of health and invest in our foods than go where we have health issues and now we need, you know, we have to go that doctor medical route. Yeah. So I'd rather us live healthy and invest that way than, you know.
I think it's also twofold, that you're investing in yourself to limit the doctor appointments, but also you're helping small businesses and farmers, mm-hmm. local farmers. So when they share their story, or even meats, right? It's just like when we're purchasing meats from farms, like you're helping a small family succeed in the midst of, you know, a lot of the control that the government has on what we, it's a monopoly. If you really go deep into it, it's a monopoly. They control everything. Mm-hmm. And then, so the ones they can't control, you know, sometimes sadly they end up buying them out. But for now, that's the scramble. It's like, okay, who can we trust with our food that we're putting in our body? And even trickles down to our dogs. You know, what are we?
We make them organic meals.
We want them
meals.
To be here for as long as they can, just like us. So
yeah.
we're trying to be intentional with what we put in our bodies, and then our dog's bodies, daughter, and then also share it with family, whoever listens as well.
Yeah. But I also feel like just with the food route, that's kind of taking off a little bit, and it more people are doing that. And, yeah. And I'm learning each day, like we have a subscription box that Jimmy was sharing with farmers we get our beef from Five Marys, and it's in Northern California. It's a family with five daughters, and they're out there, but they're also supporting and helping other small farmers take off on their own. So that's really cool seeing on the business side. And then we go through, for chicken, we go through, what is it? Primal Pastures. I always forget, because there's,
I think it is Primal Pastures.
Yeah, Primal Pastures, because there's this other one that starts with a P. And they're in Murrieta, which is not that far. And we get all of our chicken from them. So I highly encourage those two places, because they're all about clean meat. And you can get, from Primal Pastures, you can get beef and fish and some other stuff. Anyhow, that's kind of how we started living intentionally. And then recently this year, and a little bit of towards the end of last year, I told Jimmy, moving forward with clothes, I want to be intentional with the fabric, the material that the clothes are made. So 100% cotton, wool, or whatever the case is. But I want to move away from the, I don't even know like the words off the top of my head, but there's a lot of clothes, and I'll just label it as fast fashion. Fast fashion has taken off through the roof. It's more than ever. And these fast fashions, as you guys know, H&M and Zara, and I'm, you know, I will wave my hand and say, yes, I've bought through Zara. And, but they do have pieces that are 100% wool that are more on the cost effective, cheaper, lower end, you know, pieces, because I don't want to spend $1,000 on a coat. You know, they do have pieces that are 100% cotton or wool or a wool blend. So in clothing, I made a vow to myself that I'm going to be more intentional. And because a lot of clothes, especially fast fashion, are made with plastics, and our skin is our biggest organ, and I'm being intentional with that. When my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, I kind of went down that whole rabbit hole of what creates cancer, but how to combat it holistically. What foods, nutrients, vitamins can we take? But then it also led me down the rabbit hole of clothing and what we put in makeup and hygiene care. And so I literally threw away all my makeup, and it was so heartbreaking because makeup's expensive. But I threw away all my makeup. I threw away all of our deodorant, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. I threw away everything one day, and I started from ground zero. And it took some time figuring out who we could trust, just because toothpaste, there's some with toxins and some that are safe, and the safer ones are expensive. So that was another like, oh my gosh, okay, now we're going to be paying this much for toothpaste. But, you know, you start finding, going on Amazon, buying in bulk. Anyways, long story short, we've been living intentionally, and it's been a slow progress, but with the makeup, it's all vegan, plant-based, and I've been incorporating that with Cassandra, and, you know, she's a young adult. If she wants to wear MAC makeup or other things that aren't vegan, that's on her, but I've already instilled that foundation with her, and it's like half and half that she does. You know, her shampoo, conditioner's clean, non-toxic, but in the end, if she chooses to use, you know, whatever else, that's on her and for her to make that decision. But for Jimmy and I, you know, everything is clean and non-toxic. And it kind of stems with food, of just, you know, creating that foundation for our health. And I've noticed a difference within my skin from after switching over, my hair from switching over. I've noticed a difference. I don't know about your hair.
That's great.
So overall, and then it also goes into living intentional with, because those are kind of what would you call that? They're important. Clothing, food.
Essentials.
Yeah, essentials.
You need to live. And, you know, I was, I don't know what fast fashion was or is, but I was guilty of that. I bought a lot of cheap stuff because I was very tight with my money. You know, I grew up having to work for a lot of the money. Like, even when I was a kid, my mom and dad wouldn't give me anything that made me work for it. So I really appreciated money. But at the end of the day, I ended up spending more, I think, because I went to these cheap routes, but I wasn't checking labels or how
much. Well, back then, yeah.
Yeah. But
was cotton.
Well, even as a young adult, like when I had my own money and I was buying, well, even right now, like even when we got married, I went to Target to get jeans and stuff.
I know. And I would tell him, why? Why are you doing that? Just get a good pair. About a month,
so I don't know.
I know. My mom too. My mom would buy over and over all of these tennis shoes because they're cheap on sale, but she's going to Macy's and JCPenney's. And I told her, just invest in a good, decent pair. And yeah. She goes, well, these were only $20. And I go, but you're spending $20 when you could have just got yourself.
Yeah. Ends up being $1,000 for.
Yeah. And so we all are converted to On Clouds. Those are the best tennis shoes, in my opinion. Jimmy, I kind of encouraged him to try those at Nordstrom's one day. He became a fan. Now you have like hundreds of pairs.
Three.
And then I got a pair and I was sold. And then for Christmas, we got all of our parents' shoes. And then it's been a thing, especially with my mom. It's been a thing because she's like, oh my gosh, I get complimented all the time. They're so comfortable.
And my dad loves them too. They're always a Christmas gift.
Yeah, Christmas parents, birthday.
And they love them.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm thankful that we can afford to do that for our parents. And it's also investing in their health because, you know, as we get older, our feet are kind of like a major
thing.
Yeah. So, and then Jimmy's, you know, he's working at school, so he needs all the comfort he can get while being on his feet. But also living intentionally goes deeper for me. It's relationships. It's investing in ourselves. So not just food and then, you know, products, skincare products, and that. And clothing, but it goes into being intentional with how I live my life. And more than anything, I've really honed in on working out. And that's my time with God every morning, praying or crying it out, letting go of whatever stresses, anxiety, and kind of how people say where you just leave it on the mat. And, you know, we have a Peloton and I just write it out. And Jimmy gets up at what time?
Try to get up at 3:30 just to give me time. And then I don't officially get up until like 4 a.m. And then I try to work out in the mornings. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, maybe twice a week. But the weekends get better. So it ends up being about four times a week. But that's another thing that grew out of COVID that we invested on a Peloton at the time just because, you know, we had time and they were popular and we couldn't go out to the gym like we used to. So it was like something, one of the blessings out of that darkness that grew was building our own gym in the garage. So I went to rogue.com and also bought like a squat rack and barbells and all that cool stuff that you see at the gym. So I was able to purchase all that during that time. And it's a blessing now because we have it here. We don't have to travel anywhere. Back when we were at our other house in Bonita, I used to wake up at 3:30 and go to the gym in Chula Vista, which was, you know, a few miles away, get there at 4 a.m., leave at 5 a.m. Now I don't have to do that. I could be here just 30 minutes, 20 minutes. Peloton is another amazing app because it keeps you focused on 20 minutes as opposed to sitting at the gym with your dumbbells and thinking or dazing off. There's like a live coach there that is just kind of keeping you on task for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. But all of that is great because especially when you're on the run, it just gives you that intentional focus. And it's always a different workout too. It's not, you know, you're going into the gym and you're doing arms. Like you could do a whole body, you could do arms, you could go on Peloton and ride for 30 minutes while the coach is yelling at you and inspiring you. That's all really cool stuff that we have at our disposal here at home. So yeah, I think that all
and
leads into
being
intentional.
And it's also cool too because they're all on social media and there's only two instructors that I take. It's Alex Troussant. And Kendall Toole. Kendall Toole's a California girl.
Robin Arizon, I'm not sure.
But it's cool, like Kendall, I follow her and on Instagram and it's cool seeing her journey and going back to her faith and her sharing sprinkles of that. So, you know, it's not just Peloton, but it's like even deeper because you see these people end their lives and it's inspiring and encouraging seeing them break their professional arena and breaking, I guess, records and history in their own and within the company or within the whole health and fitness industry. So it's really cool on that end just to see them accomplish so much. You know, it's inspiring.
I also use Rad Lopez. Shout out to Rad Lopez because he's bilingual. And me being in a dual immersion program, Spanish and English, I take his Spanish ones just to hear Spanish. But it is Puerto Rican Spanish, so it's a little bit different. But I always do it intentionally because I want to hear more Spanish, even though I hear Spanish 9 to 5. But it's pretty cool. He's funny too.
He's a principal at a dual immersion school, so. That's the root of that.
Yeah.
But living intentionally also means within our marriage, I'd say once a week. And it kind of happens more often when you're on your spring break or summer break. But traditionally, when school's in session, Saturday morning is kind of like our thing. Whether we go to Cafe Moto, our favorite, everybody knows that. That's our favorite and only coffee shop that we love and go to. But they're truly the best. And they're intentional people too. They're intentional with the quality of their coffee. They're intentional with the milk they serve. They don't serve regular milk. Their milk is organic. And they're intentional with the quality of making it, not just the quality of the beans of the coffee. Or my thing is hot chocolate. They have regular hot chocolate and then they have Mexican hot chocolate, which is
organic.
And the hot chocolate's amazing. It's like Abuelita, but theirs.
Their own.
Yeah. And it's all sourced and coming from wherever they get it. They share their stories of where everything comes from.
They're also intentional with their pricing. It's nowhere near what you will get at a Starbucks. And Starbucks, yeah, you're getting like this really poor quality. I like to call it burnt coffee because that's what it tastes like. But yeah, it's a game changer when you go organic you could taste the passion behind their coffee, and the taste. And that's why they're so popular. Not only just in when you go and get in line and get your coffee, but they sell to a lot of small businesses around San Diego that, you know, every once in a while we'll go eat somewhere brand new and we'll see Cafe Moto in the background that they're serving. So.
Yeah, they're really popular, but also they've joked around because we know them so well that people will complain of how long it takes to get their coffee, but they say that their mission is all about quality. And that's intentional. They don't care. Sometimes they'll joke, they'll say, okay, if you want it fast and quick, go to Starbucks because there's one down the street. But their intention is quality coffee. And I respect that. I respect that kind of like, I don't care how long, you have to come here knowing that you're going to wait a bit, but it's going to be great.
Oh, go early and you're fine.
Yeah. They do have their times of tons of people wanting their coffee. So back to, we have, Jimmy and I are intentional with, you know, investing in our marriage, and it's rough. I'll admit there's times where I'm like, okay, you're working 7 days a week, you know, when are we going to have family quality time? And I get it. And I respect that. And you know, and I understand his responsibility and I understand the commitment and I understand it's exhausting on his end. Being a principal, he loves it, but it's a lot of work looking, you know, as a watcher, as an observer. But in the end, you know, we take the time and are intentional with investing in our marriage. So we'll go to Cafe Moto, get a drink. And I mean, we have our seasons. I think we used to go to Coronado all the time, go walk on the beach.
Go to Clayton's Bistro and share a breakfast wrap and things like that. But yeah, I like Coronado. I like going on the beach. It just gets you out. You know, we're blessed again and being in San Diego, we have everything close.
Yeah.
But Coronado is like, it's just clean air. you're on the ocean and a lot of people pay for that. You travel just to go hang out in the ocean and we have it here. So it's always nice to walk around
it feels like a mini vacation. Yeah. Even if it's just for like 30 minutes, an hour. And that's the other thing. Our little date moments aren't where we have to clear the schedule. They're sporadic and it's more of like, even if it's just a quick, hey, we just have 30 minutes, let's just go and take advantage of the 30 minutes. And then after that, you know, we got to go back to our daily schedule.
Yeah, when we first got married, it was Thursday nights, but now we have Bible study Thursday nights, which is kind of our time. And I think we talked about in the last podcast, you know, it's exhausting going from the day to day and then going that, but it's, you know, I've tweaked my meals and all that, but it's
definitely now every day.
It's definitely now I can do it. Like yeah. I have energy now, and now I figured out why not get a coffee before, and that helps too. So.
Well, a little backtrack. I make dinner obviously every day, but on Thursdays, Jimmy intentionally waits to have dinner after Bible study.
Which is not good either, but...
No, because by the time I get home, it's...
But I have energy, so just kind of giving you a praise report from the last time. That was the trial run, and it's worked.
There's a Better Buzz right by us. I'm not a fan of Better Buzz, but yeah. He had a free coffee coupon, so he took advantage of that, and now he's discovered. It's the trick.
It works.
And then Bethany was so kind. Bethany is... I had her on recently. But it's at her and Philip's house, and she told Jimmy, anytime I'll make you a coffee. So that's really sweet.
Which inspired Laird Creamer. Laird Creamer is another intentional, because I've played with so many creamers, and you know, through the years I used to use like the 7-Eleven one, and then now looking back, they're probably, I don't know how much damage they did to my body chemical wise. But now even that, the creamer has been intentional. It's like trying to find a clean one that doesn't bloat you and all this other kind of stuff. So shout out to Laird, the surfer guy, right?
He's yeah.
a surfer, created his own creamer, tried the liquid
and form.
Liquid form wasn't that great. And then I saw the powder from Bethany. She served me a coffee. I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty good. I never thought powder. I've tried powder form and it's always horrible, but this one was a game changer. It tasted really good. Plus the frother thing, that little spinner that mixes it up. Now that's a game changer. Yeah. So now it's like,
I highly recommend those. They're like $10 on Amazon.
Top notch.
I use that for my hot chocolates and it's the best frother. But back to living intentionally. Okay. So, you know, our marriage, we're intentional with that. And we're intentional with relationships, friendships, family. And I think that's the hardest, or at least from my experience, that's been the hardest for me. There's been friends where I've had since elementary school, middle school. One friend in particular, she's so sweet and just so sweet. And we've been in each other's lives through many ups and downs. But God kind of just told me, you know, that friendship will always be there. But as far as like spending that time, you know, doing friend things, it's just not there anymore. And, you know, I have to let that friend kind of go through their life trials and circumstances and always be there for her. But it was kind of like weighing me down. It was a big weight. And I felt exhausted all the time. And I just felt like I had to be this counselor, and I'm not a counselor. I can encourage and I can motivate you, and I could talk to you about God and encourage you in all of the right ways. In the end, it comes down to them to make that decision. And but God told me you can't save everybody. And so, you know, like with that, you know, God told me intentionally kind of just to love them from afar. Always be there for them and support them, but from afar. And, you know, and again with my family and whoever else, you know, it could be coworkers, just to learn to, you know, we all have our, I think in the end, I don't even know how to say it. Just, I guess I'm just slowly discovering my position in relationships.
I think it's a time, no? Because it's
seasons.
Not just the time that it takes to do something like that. If you're being intentional and you're pouring into somebody else. And I think we had this discussion a couple weeks back. You know, I've always... It's hard because it's a time, like even right now, just not even looking at other colleagues and they're newer to the to a position and they want that support, you know, I can give only so much because I have to focus on the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. They're not that they're not, but it's draining because you're being drained 9 to 5 through another, which is a good draining because you're living intentionally, you're doing purpose and you're supporting thousands of kids year to year. So there's a mission there. So it's a gladly pour into all of that, but all this other side stuff, sometimes it's good. And I think God has his moments that we have to really pray. Does God want me to continue to pour to somebody or just drop a seed and let it grow and be there as support here and there? But just to continuously do it, it could become a job itself. And yeah, I think that's definitely what we have to delegate that to pastors and churches and say, hey, why don't you just check out this message from a certain pastor? You know, it could be our own. We, you know, we're really into Jack Hibbs up in Calvary and Chino Hills. You know, there's so many that you could now with technology, you can do that, you know, and let that word, whatever message, and hopefully they take it, let it be a blessing and open up a road for other avenues. And later on, their contact with you might be just praise report that, you know, it's changed my life and things like that. But it's hard. It's a hard balance. And, you know, people reach out sometimes. And, you know, when I was younger, I would reach out without the expectations I would be like a coach. And now they call it like a life coach, you know, but I don't expect that. I want some advice and then I'm going to run with it. So it's just that time commitment and you don't want to be drained because you also have a family. And so,
yeah, it's also having faith and being obedient to God, because God doesn't want us to drain ourselves for a person, especially if it's not our spouse, our family, our kids. And God also reminds me of, okay, my job for you is to plant this seed or water this seed, not continuously garden that and wait for its harvest, but just to do that moment, even if it's that moment that God has planned. And then he's going to bring somebody else to go and tend to it, water it, bring some sunlight to it. And I think that's where we have to remember that God, that just because we did our one job, that God's not finishing. God has other people that are coming in to pour into that person too. So that's what I always have to remember, is that just because I'm not doing the work, there's other people that are also called to do that, to do their part.
That's the prayer, that, you know, more people will reach out through you dropping that seed. Because you look biblically, like Jesus was a mover. He just moved around and just spread the gospel or the message. And even the disciples, that's what they did. And you just look back to all the stories, they just moved to get more people and not just on one person. He would tell them, just sin no more, and then you just continue to go. And that's like the perfect way to do it. And God will call you into certain arenas. Some people get called to churches. You know, I got called to education. Some people get called into marketing and real estate. Some people get called into government, you know, hopefully more Christians. So it's just, they get called into certain arenas, and that's their main job, to kind of create light in darkness in the arenas that have darkness. And then the other side ones will come here and there, but they need to travel into their own arena after, you know, any believer drops a seed, and then hopefully that just harvests on its own and it just opens up more paths. But yeah, for us, it's just because we have to continuously, we go through our peaks and valleys as a family. So, you know, and they're going to go through their own. So it's hard to manage all of that. So you really have to stay intentional with, okay, God gave me a job, get paid for it. It blesses us. You know, we give back when we can, or, you know, in moments, God gives us moments to give back to, like, you know, tragedies and things like that, charities. So it just kind of opens up a lot of lanes where we're able to drop seeds and bless others while he's blessing us. And then, so you have your home arena too, which, you know, that's when I think about it being intentional, you're intentional and you're at work and you're doing everything. And when you come home, it's like you turn that off because it's your rest spot. No, it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, let me regroup. But you also have to be intentional with your family, because if not, you end up losing that in the troubles.
But it's not as heavily, well, it is heavily invested, but yeah, not like okay, now let me give my 100% and go all in this evening.
Yeah, and that's the balance, and it's hard.
It's because more,
you want to give, you know, you want to give some.
Yeah, it's
you can't
hard.
Just, but yeah, it's hard to manage all of that.
But I think that's, but we just spread it out through the week.
Yeah. To sum just, it up. Yeah.
Yeah. But also being intentional. So we're intentional with our health. We're intentional with having gratitude. And I think the world uses those like gratitude journals, which are great to have. Bethany has a similar one and that helped her. But you don't necessarily need a gratitude. It's great to have it because you want to write it down and see it and see your growth grow. Just as someone's losing weight, you take pictures or you write, you know, you document the inches or pounds or whatever it is. That's wonderful. And it's a testament and that's encouraging. I know for me, the scale is the devil. I hate the scale. And for women, probably most women understand that inches are what is better seen than weight because our bodies are so different than men. You know, we carry weight in different ways, but we practicing gratitude and being intentional with that is, I think, a huge thing because especially right now with how the world is, it's so crazy. It feels like doomsday almost every day, just hearing news. And we don't even watch the news. We watch more of like, we don't watch
mainstream. Clips. Watch a lot of clips.
We don't watch mainstream media at all. We haven't watched any of that in years. We watch a lot of YouTube, a lot of Rumble. But being intentional with acts of service, with even simply just saying hi. And it's so hard right now because I feel like it's a different world right here on the, say, the Bonita Golf Course. Decades ago when I was a teenager running that, everyone that you pass by, hi, waving, smiling, eye contact, just anything of some form of greeting you, like, hi, have a nice day, whatever. Now it's kind of like people want to avoid eye contact. People don't want you to wave high. Or if you do wave high, you kind of either maybe get a hi back, maybe get a smile back, maybe get a wink back. But you maybe get, ugh, like, why are you talking to me?
I get that. Sometimes I catch myself because at school, you know, we're, you know, what I try to do is create a welcoming environment. So I'm out in the mornings as kids are coming in, parents, I'm saying buenos dias, good morning, como estás? And so I'm like greeting them even when they leave. Nos vemos, que tengan un buen fin, have a good weekend. So it's always that. And even during the day, I'm like with teachers, I see them, buenos dias, all that stuff, and just like small talk as we're walking through. And I'll catch myself and I'll do the same thing to strangers outside. And I'm like, sometimes I forget to turn that off and they don't know me, but they do say it back 9 times out of 10 or make eye contact. So I was like, oh, it's just like a regular routine that I do at work. But I slip and I do it to people that are randomly just walking in front of me. So I catch myself, which is a good thing, I guess, because you're just kind of building that bridge. Because again, you're going back to COVID, that kind of eliminated a lot of that. The eye contact. I remember we were walking on the golf course and we were walking down a trail and then a group of people went all the way around us. They're like, we don't want to touch you. So there's still a little bit of that little vibe going on.
But maybe it's like PTSD.
It is PTSD for a lot, yeah.
And then being kind, that's kind of what we just talked about with greetings. But I think we need to practice being kind. Not that we aren't kind to people, but more than anything to people who we don't know. Or say you're in the grocery line and there's always like lunchtime. There's always like somebody that's working on their lunch, hurrying up, getting their salad and then going in line. They only have their one salad. And then the person in front of them has like 100 items They're just there. 9 times out of 10, well, 10 times out of 10, I'm like, just go in front of me. Unless I just have one item myself, but I'm like, just go in front of me, you know, enjoy your lunch. But I think we need to, in this world, we need to practice being kind, because we don't know who's fighting what battle. Like my mom, for example, with cancer. Looking at her, you probably wouldn't think, especially if you don't know her, you would think she's just a lady that has a little bit of a limp, you know, in her walk. Could be a sore, it could be a sore muscle. It could be she slept wrong, you know, nothing major. Other than that, she looks good. Why does she need a handicap sign, you know? But she's fighting cancer. And those things I learned a lot, because she didn't even want a handicap sign. She's like, I don't need, and no, you need the handicap sign. You can barely walk. You can walk, but you need that to help you so you're not, you know, hurting yourself physically even more. But I think, you know, that really taught me my, like, just observing my mom of, we never know what battles people are hiding. And then it really shined the light of those silent, what do they call them? Like those silent, or kind of like my mom, for example, of hidden, or was it called like hidden
stories?
No, hidden, kind of like silent or hidden battles, I guess you could say. Because some people, I mean, I think we've gone past that stigma of cancer just being somebody who has lost their hair. And it's very prominent and visual that they're going through something with illness. And that's not the case all the time. You know, my mom has had her hair. My mom, I mean, she hasn't gone through, you know, severe treatment like that, but to lose it, but she's known to have her signature long black hair. And so looking at her, you would not think she would have cancer. So it's kind of like one of those things where you never know, you know, who has what. And so I've with me, when I'm out in public, again, like at the grocery store or whatever, I always try to be intentional and mindful of letting people go ahead of me. Or if God's saying, you know, just let them go ahead of you. I'm like, okay. You know, because I don't know what's going on. And if maybe that little act of service is helping them in their day, or helping them get to their appointment, or they just left a devastating appointment and they just want to get whatever they need to get back home so they can, you know, process whatever answers they just got.
I think it goes back to everyone has a story, you know, and yeah. It's it could be a story from birth to now, but also the intermittent ones, what happens in that day to day. You know, when you look at kids, that's something we try to look at, and I try to teach. And this also comes from like the district level. We try to have, they use the word empathy. You know, you're trying to have empathy for others because you don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So even at a small scale, when we see a kid throw a chair or throw a tantrum, you could easily label that kid. He's just, you know, he's having a tantrum. You know, he throws chairs or he runs away. Like those are the labels that you could easily go through. But if you scale it back and you, after the kid de-escalates, what is he going through? You know, that kid, what, I don't know what age it could be. And when they're younger, they tend to actually tell you a lot what's going on. But as they get older too, they communicate more as to why they did that. Sometimes they will say, I don't know, but later on the reason will happen, will come out. And then with that parent engagement, parents will say, you know what, we're going through this. We're going through a divorce. You know, he's going through a hard time. I'm really sorry. So things like that. And that's what they're going through as kids and even as adults. I remember watching I don't know if it was through education training or something, or maybe on TV, but there was this commercial, and I'm trying to find it. I know Chick-fil-A did something similar one time, but it's just like showing a video of a day-to-day, and I think it was like at a grocery store, and there's this lady checking out, and then there's a lady that is taking the items and charging her, and then you see a guy just kind of walk by. It's just like a normal day-to-day scene, but under it had subtitles. and the person purchasing had just lost their mother, right? Or lost their father. And then the cashier says, going through a divorce. And then the person walking by had just gotten into a car crash. And it's just kind of like, it just little subtitles of people walking by. And then day to day, you take it for granted. There's just people, you know, they're over here getting their groceries for the week. But they all have a subtitle as to what they're going through. So it just really, having that visual, and I try to communicate that story too to staff, but I wish I could find the video because it does a better job than what I'm doing. But it just kind of, everybody has a subtitle. It kind of what stuck with me.
Yeah, as just to like what you and I have our own things of what we're going through, not together, but just like external, again, like what we've shared before, like with family and stuff like that. You know, so we have that, or we have like my mom, you know, with her cancer, you know, so we have those things. And to shed light, because, you know, not trying to be, you know, doom and gloom, but there's a lot of positive and blessings, beautiful things that are happening too. But, you know, the things that could weigh us down are the unfortunate things. And that's a good example that you just shared. You know, everybody has a battle. Everybody is going through a thing, whether it's permanent or just temporary, or just that season. And, you know, so even more so, it's our responsibility to be kind. And again, you know, everything's a season, and what we're going through, is it really detrimental to cause somebody else to have a terrible day? No, you know, and I don't want to be that person that caused someone's day to be heavier than what it is, you know, so always be kind. And then being intentional is also learning your purpose. And with that is, you know, at least I think with Jimmy and I, it's more of, that's more of communicating and with God and praying and asking and seeking God of what is that? And Jimmy's figured out his purpose, education, leadership. And, but even with that, you know, he's told me I have, you know, I'm thinking X amount of years as a principal. And then I'm telling, okay, after that, superintendent. And I'm really encouraging that because that's what I see. That's what, you know, God is showing me some higher leadership and education. And so, you know, in the end, you know, God's going to slowly but surely show Jimmy, you know, what the next step is. And Cassandra is a senior in college, and she's, you know, little by little navigating that. You know, she's young. She's at the very beginning stages of finding out her purpose. And that's exciting to watch, and her navigating that and growing and maturing through this season, finishing up. She graduates the end of the year, and it's going to be getting her internship this summer. So that's exciting just to see all of that pan out. But also being intentional, I think we can close it up with this, just with everything going on in this world. It's very heavy politically, and I think practicing being in the stillness and being intentional with being still and not letting the weight of the world and the frustration that we can get from politically, because in the end, it's a spiritual warfare. And we know, you know, if you read the Bible, you understand what we're going through in this world. At church, you know, we went through the book of Revelation. We just finished that book, what, last month or something like that?
Yeah, it was during the holiday season, I think.
Yeah.
Christmas season. Yeah.
And it really, you know, and everybody knows, I used to be so terrified to go through that book as a kid. But it the older I get, the more I learn from it, and it becomes like a newer book to me. And, but again, it connects with the world and what's to come, and it's unavoidable, and that's a good thing, and it's an exciting thing, and it's like a nerve-wracking thing, And it's like, God, it's like it's you're on a roller coaster. It's going to get, there's going to be more twists and turns and ups and downs. And the speed's going to get faster. And you're going to want to get off. But there's no getting off.
No, I think that's it. For me, it's exciting. It's you know, but the day to day, you know, you did get caught up with the stories. And I think those are intentional by their part, you know, putting a lot of stories out there to confuse us and things like that. But it is exciting. And it goes back to, you know, just being intentional, understanding what the word of God says. And it gives you peace in the midst of the storm, no matter. And then we're going to have, like we just talked about, our personal storms that we're going to have as individuals. You know, sometimes things happen either to us, people we know, people we work with. There's so many things that go on the day to day that we just have to stay focused on that and focused on God's word. And then that will in itself will keep us stable, you know, and the hope and the prayer is that more people feel that way that are making big decisions in our government, that they have that foundation and really seek God and hit their counsel, seek for wisdom. And if they do that, then in the midst of the storm, we're going to get better. But yeah, like you mentioned, it's unavoidable. But in the midst of it, you know, just find the joy of God, the peace of God in the midst of it. And I think that's what kind of keeps you going. It will keep you going.
To bring in some humor, Philip, which I've had on a few times. He's the pastor of Horizon Church that we go to. And he recently said, if you want God to come back quicker, vote one way. And you know, everyone laughed. We laughed. And because it's so true, if you want God to come back quicker, vote one way. And I think that's self-explanatory which way that is. But in the end, being intentional also means being creating the stillness. And when I work out, that's kind of, even though I'm working out and I'm heavy breathing, sweating, and muscles, everything's hurting, which is good, there's this stillness, like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, where it's just me and God, and that's it. It's like the world is on pause. Politics, family, Jimmy, Cassandra, everything's on pause for that moment. It's just me and God. And I think we need to practice more of that just to help us. It's like a healthy mindset, but also I think intentional. We need to be in politics. And that could be, you know, I see a lot of parents that I'm rooting for and cheering on where they're getting involved in politics and trying to reverse bills that are detrimental to our kids and parental rights. And I'm cheering them on and that's amazing. But also, you know, we need more parents getting involved in, you know, taking a seat. We have a seat right now in for the district that we're in. And it's where, because I don't know if people know, when there's a seat that's up, you can only run if you live in that designated zone.
You talk about school board.
Yeah, school board. And so our zone, the seat in our zone is up. And I so wanted to run, but I didn't. I even went to, you know, a few meetings and had already an endorsement, but I didn't proceed just because, you know, Jimmy's a principal and another district, but, you know, politics are really crazy. And they knew, you know, they would find out we were married and I just didn't want his job to be compromised. So I didn't, but parents need to be intentional with going to board meetings and taking up a seat and taking up a seat anywhere for that matter. Whatever you feel led to do, whether it's helping someone win or taking a seat, and don't be terrified. There's people who are just regular people like you and I who are taking up these seats and they're terrified as well. A friend of mine who's about 26, we met in a photography class. We connected because I have a public relations background and she's an inspiring PR. And lo and behold, she's running for a committee seat. Unsurprisingly, we saw her on the ballot and I text her how surprised I was, but a very happily, I'm not even saying that right. I was so excited to see that. And so, but we have young adults taking up seats. So all the more for us 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, you know, to take up seats. And yeah, it's frightening and scary, but, you know, all the more. So to wrap it all up, God has been encouraging me to be intentional in all the ways. All the ways, even things that we haven't even mentioned, which is a ripple effect into our family in a good way. You know, our families benefit living intentionally. And I also think it helps create intentional schedules. I know I'm very intentional with my schedule now. And spending time, Jimmy and I are intentional with who we spend our time with. And we're intentional with having, you know, just good. I think the people who we do spend with are just good. Not that people that we don't aren't good, but just having healthy relationships, healthy friendships, because we need that. And just investing in ourselves. And I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's all important. Just being intentional. It's a good word. Just being intentional with your time and energy and investments. And that goes for a lot. It covers a lot. Just now your marriage, and you just talked about politics, the way we vote. Make sure you do your research. You know, I really try to take that seriously, because at the end of the day, you know, if we complain about things and we're just kind of throwing our vote in, then
or not voting,
just kind of disconnected, which is the purpose for a lot of these folks, no, just to get you disconnected or try to put certain stories out in front and make other people look evil. So that's the game. But do your own research, really. And that's what we teach kids. You know, going back to education, we teach about sources, primary source, secondary source. I remember learning that in college, but you know, I wish we taught that more now in civics and things like that. But it's, yeah, it's, we covered a lot of bases with the food that we take, the clothing, the time, the investments, the friendships, you know, all that kind of stuff. It all encompasses. But for me, like, one scripture that I wanted to share, it's 1 Kings 3:7. And this is, I have it forever tabbed just because it is what something, book? 1 Kings 3:7. It says, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me king instead of my father, David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" So it's just kind of asking for that wisdom. And for me, I use it for leadership, and it could be leadership in the family too. Give me the wisdom to govern. And that's a small scale govern at a school, at our house, but we want that for our government, right? When they're making decisions, that they're looking at that perspective. So it just kind of touches on all of that. And I try to reread it because that's what I ask for. Even when we pray in the morning before I leave, I ask for wisdom because that's what I want. That's, I don't want anything from my own understanding, but to lean on theirs, on his word, his understanding that all these amazing people have followed. And I think everything's going to prosper or be what God intended. And then it goes back to the intentionality. If I set that, and I set that for my family, I set that for work, I set that with, the meals, and that comes through you, the research you do for meals and clothing and all the other stuff that I don't have time for, but you do. We're being intentional as a pair. So I think that, you know, encompasses all of that, and hopefully we're in the right direction.
Yeah, I think that was a good way to end it. So I hope you are learning and growing with us with being intentional. And I hope this talk has encouraged you and in your daily walk, and I hope you have a blessed day.
God bless.
Thanks for listening and joining me. I hope you found something of value in this episode. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out. Until next time, I hope you have the most beautiful day. God bless.